Is that a... You silly sod!
Welcome to NC Gum Bunnies, episode 23.
Episode 23. All right. So
are we actually going to have content this time?
Content this time? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Liam is on.
That's so true. Liam is on.
I mean, that's always content, right?
I suppose, if you like comic books.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Okay. So, well, let's go into the Gazette. All right. So, Rule of Gazette. July 4th through 6th, we have GigaCon. That's this weekend.
Sweet.
Yeah, I can't wait. All right. July 12th, we have a Carolina Invitational at your local game store near Charlotte.
Is that what it's actually called?
Yes.
Your local game store?
It's called Your Local Game Store.
I was totally waiting for you to tell me what the name of the place was.
Nope. Your Local Game Store is what it's called.
All right. Sweet.
Also the same weekend, the 12th through the 13th, is the ATC in Eastridge, Tennessee.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we had to withdraw from that. I was a little disappointed. I was hoping to eke into that or get some coverage for that, but unfortunately, it shall not be.
Yeah, it is kind of sad. July 19th, we have a Carolina Invitational and Atomic Empire.
That's supposed to be really sweet. Isn't that the free one?
Yep, that is the free one.
All right. So if you haven't qualified, or even if you have qualified and you just want to get some good games in, show up.
July 26th at Cape Fear Games in Wilmington, North Carolina, we have another Carolina Invitational.
Yeah, we really need to get to that. Are you free that weekend?
Yes, I am free that weekend.
You're not going to like Wet n' Wild or any of that crazy thing?
That's happening that's not that weekend. I mean, we have a packed month. I'm planning on doing something every single weekend.
War Machine related?
No.
Trader.
Yeah. I'm doing something War Machine related 3 out of 4 weeks.
Okay.
So I am planning on going to Wilmington, and M's planning on going to the beach that weekend.
Sounds good.
Okay. And also I'll cover August 28th through 31st is the Nova Open.
Yep, always a favorite.
In Arlington, Virginia.
We're going to have, I think Tyler's going to that, isn't he?
I think. I don't know. He hasn't been to an event in a bit.
I know. Well, it's because his schedule's so messed up.
I know.
In any case, I think that about covers it for news and announcements.
Yep, so we have an episode coming up where we talk about...
Actually talk about StormCon?
Yeah, actually talk about StormCon.
Yep.
And the events that happened therein. And some discussion about different models and things like that, too.
Yeah, so actual content as opposed to last week's splurge of random topics with a little bit of War Machine sprinkled in. I think this is pretty much
War Machine.
Pretty much War Machine, and it should cover... I'm going to have to divide this up into two like I did last time.
Really?
Yeah, it's just better to have hour episodes for people to digest.
Okay,
so
not a problem.
That'll be an A and a B, so and they both should have plenty of content, so... I always try to put a disclaimer on any episodes that I don't feel like have content, so that way if you're not interested in that, you can just skip on by and, you know, no harm, no foul. Would hate for you to jump into an episode and it be about comic books and movies and not be pre-warned, so.
Follow us on Twitter, TheGumBunnies, _GumBunnies. Like us.
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
Do we have anything on Facebook?
No.
You gonna put something on Facebook?
Maybe.
It's going to be hard for people to like us.
This weekend.
Uh-huh.
This weekend. As
you'll have plenty of time to put all the stuff that you should have put on there 3 weeks ago on there.
This weekend is what I'm planning. Okay, so also, don't forget to go to the ncgunbunnies.org/forms for all of our forums. And you can go to ncgunbunnies.org just for the articles and things there. Also, everything's ramping up in the Muse on Mini store, so don't forget to go there. I'm waiting for them to come up with those wound markers myself, because those are getting ready to get dropped. Can't wait. They're going to be $15 for 6, which is a good price.
Sounds sweet.
Yep. So that's what we got coming up. All right. Now on to the episode. So, hi, everybody. This is Gum Bunnies. This is Will.
This is Keith.
Dave. This is the sex... the guy that's not going to talk about War Machine at all on this podcast, Liam.
Sounds fantastic.
So anyways,
that's the worst title ever. That's the longest, shittiest title in the history of ever.
That's true.
Like, gone from like...
Yeah, well.
Oh, small children.
It'll. Man, I just speak the way I speak. I'm not... If it comes out, it comes out.
You need to learn
what
at
it
some
is.
Point in life.
Yep.
That's
what she said. When Mercenary Ninja Jesus throws a shuriken, if it hits somebody, That's pretty much the way it is.
Yeah. Well, if it hits someone, he meant to hit them.
That's right. It's the winners that get to write the history, right?
That's right. That's right. The guys with big guns. They're always the ones that win.
So anyways, coming back from StormCon, well, we had Friday night, we had was it like the, it was like a speed machine?
It's Death Race.
Death Race. Mm-hmm. So it was what, basically a 35-point list?
Yeah, it was a 35-point SR.
20 minutes, right.
With 20 minutes, yeah. I mean, it was just a real pared down time SR. Yeah.
And only one scenario, a key bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Destruction.
Destruction.
Yeah.
I really do like destruction for these quick tournaments because it's, I mean, it's easy, it's central, it's kill box. It's a winnable scenario now as opposed to other iterations of destruction. And I think it's good.
So I don't mind destruction in Death Race because control casters don't have immediately like win condition, but in like Mangled Metal or something, like the guys that like a Haley 2 or Kruger 2 could just win it, no worries, like easy as pie. Because they just force you out, you have to get in, they just get up the board quickly. I think with units it makes it okay, but for Death Race I think you need a different scenario. Maybe another center scenario, but something at least, a balance of power, so you at least can stand on your own, the other flag, and get another turn past their feet, something.
How many Colossals were there at the event?
In that one? I mean, you ran one.
I don't know.
I don't
know. I think it was just you.
I didn't see many over the whole weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Keith ran one because it's, you know, he plays Signar and Stormwall is amazing.
Yeah, but not for Death Race.
Yeah, not for Death Race.
Oh, I did actually run one for Death Race. It was in my other list, but I didn't really. I only played it once.
Oh, okay. Because I was just curious because at that format, it sounds like a Colossal would be great for that format.
Yeah, so it was two list. It was two.
It was.
List. It was just a two list 35-point.
It was an SR
with one scenario and 20-minute time limits.
20-minute. Yeah, reduced time.
So quick strategy on that. If you ever end up in a game that's playing that, just bring boxes, which is why Colossals are amazing, just because if you don't do anything particularly dumb, get assassinated, just making the opponent chew through the boxes because there's no time will win you the game a lot of times.
All right. The true theme force.
Striker 1, Double Centurion, Sentinels.
Yeah, I mean,
Junior.
Both of those lists right there would be really good just because, I mean, Balder 2 is very frustrating, that kind of scenario. I mean, it's rough because you can't beat through it in time.
Yeah, because it's armor 24 4-point models that he just keeps feeding into his own.
Just like in hardcore, it's the same reason. A lot of the times you can just win on time, right, in hardcore because you'll have the points in the zone with Balder. It's a good
way to
play it.
Yeah.
But then again, if you're going to do that, you might as well just masturbate for 35 minutes.
Sure. With 20,
hey,
20 minutes. 20
that's
minutes.
Why you bring Balder.
Balder can be actually fun, just not in theme force.
Yeah, don't troll our circle player.
In my view.
I mean, I'm just saying from my experience.
For one, the battle engine is fun as shit.
Oh, I know what the difference here is. Did you start in circle?
Yes.
I started in Crix, so I don't like to play the game.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. He doesn't like to play the game.
Actually, my mistake. The first War Machine faction I played was Signar. I don't like to play the game.
There we go. Thanks. Yeah, because the only thing you played was Kane 2 and Haley 2.
That's right. Just assassination and locking you out. That's it.
Well, that's actually a valid way to kill Balder 2 as well, because, you know, a lot of the times he's sitting on maybe 2 Focus or 2 Fury or whatever. And so if you've got somebody like Legion or Crix or even...
He's assassinable. Just,
yeah. I mean, even Signar. I mean, Kane can walk up and shoot him off the board.
Yeah, so the only thing is if he's running the theme list, he's got 3 shield guards in it.
Well, they'd have to be near him.
Yeah,
that's the thing. And a lot of the times they're not.
Yeah, so there's positional issues there for the guy that's playing the theme force, but he's definitely killable if you can get to him because he's hurting himself every round or likely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or if you're Scorn, you've got the massive threat ranges, right? So there's a good way to get a Titan on him or Moloch.
Actually,
or even Rhett now that they've got the new baby Moloch Karn.
Baby
Moloch. Yeah. Well, he's not
bigger than Moloch.
His model's bigger, but
he's a ret model, so his shoulder pads are probably the entirety of Molokar's model.
Yeah.
Well, especially at that point level, there aren't that many, there are not
everything?
That many models to block the path to Moloch.
Right.
But at 35 in general, Moloch's great because there are so few models to block his path. So you can just bullet him out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or... However you want to play him. I mean, you can scalpel for a couple of rounds with Moloch as well and make it in that kind of format to where,
So if you're fighting that Balder 2 theme list, the one thing you want to do is make sure you murder the stones as quick as possible because they armor up, but they'll heal. So they're not really teleporting things as much in that
game.
They're just healing.
Yeah. And between Megalith and Balder and healing
and
Balder.
And each stone, if they place it right, can heal 2 or 3 beasts.
Right.
So, and then they'll spread all the shield guards, they'll spread the shouts around. So if you can, murder those stones early.
I had not actually played that list yet. That's interesting. I didn't know that the stones were predominantly healers.
Yeah, I mean,
list.
You threaten with your Rumble or whoever your second heavy is.
Yeah.
Because he's slow. But mostly you want to bring them in and have them have to bring a heavy to kill the lights, and then you counter with your heavies, mm-hmm. and then you win, and then you feat. But the length of time, because the theme force hits like paper, right? Because none of the molds
pillow fisted. Yeah,
currently, hopefully the new solo that they previewed is
I hope so much
mold damage buff.
Yeah,
but,
plus two
currently
damage.
They're really pillow fisted, so it's going to take two turns to generally kill a second heavy back, and then you that healing, that extra D3 of healing, so you get, like, you know, whatever.
Well,
four, six hit points back is pretty good.
I will say this. Even though they are a little pillow-fisted, they charge for free with Baldur.
Yep.
So they do have
helps
fear,
a lot.
And you can teleport them as well. So, I mean, you have a lot of fury and mitigation that way. They don't frenzy, and you can just sit there and burn them out every turn if you want to. So, I mean, you know, we know volume works, right? Because you're just swinging.
Yep.
I mean, there is like that limit of what the armor is for them to swing against. Mm-hmm. But if you put two of them on a heavy, even that's armor like 19, maybe 20, you knock out that shield, they're going to kill it.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna volume attack
you
to death.
Yeah, you just got to put them multiple, and then they have lesser fury, so getting that free charge in is actually really handy.
Yep.
And using the wall well in Baldur 2 at any point, or anybody that can make a wall, using that wall correctly and geometrically is fantastically good, because it's amazing how much you can't attack me because you can't land. Is really important.
Yeah.
Anyway, for your later tournament today, that's...
Yeah,
so a wall, correct. Do you need a wall template, by the way?
Huh? Yes, I have the Muse on Mini.
You already have one?
Okay. Template set. So,
I was
going to
say, I've got a wall template too.
Yeah, they gave me a nice little rock wall template in
cool.
there.
Cool,
so.
Cool.
Sweet. Yeah, who did you play in your first round?
In Speed Machine?
Yeah, do you remember?
No.
Okay, you don't remember any of your matches?
I played John in the first one. He played Legion. And
I played Orleans.
See, you do remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a week, but...
Yeah.
It was funny. I think John thought my lesser was my caster, so he focused a lot on it. And killed it. And then when he killed it, he's like, "Good game." I was like, "That was my lesser warlock, man." I was like, "I had one war beast. Why would I only have one war beast if that was my?" but no, he killed, which was even though that I think he was a little, he didn't realize that it was a good move, because Rorschach and Brian Ninja Pig, man, are just with Damiano.
They do a lot.
Holy crap. Yeah. And I had gun mages in the list. So all I had to do was just knock down Val. He was playing Val 2, like a Val 2 tier.
Right.
In that that format.
Gun mages.
I knock her down and Brian kills her.
Gun mages are actually kind of terrifying to Vale, because her armor's not really that high.
Believe it or not, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I shot her to death.
Yeah.
Actually.
I was going
to
say, like,
especially with
Dead
Eye.
Yeah.
Yes.
They can just shoot her to death. Yep. They just do a little bit at a time, but dude, against Hordes, that's exactly
Damiano was amazing. Yeah. So I'm going to skip ahead, because I just want to tell a story, because it's amazing, right? So we played Commander's Crucible, which is kind of like, I don't know, not Commander's Crucible, I'm sorry. We did Rule of Roulette, which is kind of like Mini Who's the Boss, kind of.
Yeah, so you get six models to choose from, three from your own, three from your opponent's casters.
But the point is, so I'm playing Circle, and I get Damiano. So I got feated, dead-eyed,
death-marched
blood trackers. And they murdered
an entire army.
An entire army in one turn. Yep. It was awesome.
You got to think about that. They go up to like mat 10 against their prey on the charge. Yep. Their power
14,
and their weapon masters after the throw on the throw.
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous.
I got to rotate prey four times that turn, through two jacks, and Gaston, and like half the gun mages. Yeah, it was.
I know, right?
It was.
And Dave should know how to play Damiano, because he's played me so many times, and that's one of my favorite casters.
Yeah, right.
I think he's the second best caster in Merc, so I play him a lot.
Yeah, and it turns out geomancy is great when you have Deadeye, because you're just
hey, you think about that, it's kind of gross.
Like Megalith walks up, and I'm like, Deadeye those girls.
He's also one of the best Hordes casters you could possibly get.
Oh, he was amazing.
Sick. And his stat line for Hordes is really good, because he's a 15-16 with Surefoot, right?
Yeah.
So he's a 17-16 with transfers.
Yeah, and he had gun mages facing me, and I'm like, here's my stalker. Now defense 16, no knockdown. Have fun.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Yep.
Damiano was just amazing. Yep. It was so much fun. It was like everything you wanted out of
Signar. Warpath. He's the best Signar caster in the game.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he is. I mean, I like Signar. You know, I've played Signar a lot, and Striker 1 was he and Kane 2 were my Signar drops normally, or the casters I like to play the most in Signar. And I really like Striker, and Damiano is
Striker's
a very
awesome.
Similar style caster.
Right.
Buffs the hell out of
everybody. He's a buff. And he doesn't do much himself, but he can take the occasional pot shot.
Well, but I think we were talking a little bit on the way down, but I think the really important part about Damiano is the focus mechanic often leaves you strapped right? Yeah. Because it's a focus allocation game or a, you know, resource allocation game. But that feat gives you essentially three focus back because of the armor swing.
Oh, for the armor.
Right? Yep. So on that feat turn, you can load up your jack fully. You can cast Deadeye. You can get all the things done that you want to get done. And you still are camping three, essentially. Yep.
Well, it's just like Stryker with Arcane Shield.
With Arcane Shield. With
Rowdy is Rosante and an Ironclad. It's a very similar setup, which is how I ran.
Right.
And so it's one way to think of it. It's just a way I conceived it, especially like a Striker, anybody that's got that armor buff, or like Harkovich or somebody.
Yeah.
You can give out focus for that one key turn because you're essentially camping through.
Right, right.
And I think it's really, it's helpful to think of it that one turn as like, you know, it's a feat turn. You should be impressive, but that's what allows you to be impressive that day.
Also, getting an armor like 20 plus jack up in everybody's face is great. Oh, you know, especially when it's a 6 and 7 point jack. We've talked about these low point jacks and how good they are. And that makes all the difference.
It does make all the difference.
Yep. You know, because then you've got a jack that hopefully has killed something large.
Right.
And then he's sitting there at armor 20 plus and
it's
beating
hard to
through
trade
that.
Back, right. Especially when it's a 6 point
six
jack.
6 point or 7 point, you know, if you're talking ironclad type deal. Yep.
Anyway, so Damian is real good all the time.
Yeah, he is.
As everyone should know already, but
who did you play your first round?
I played a guy named Orleans. I don't think he plays a whole ton. He's actually like a nuclear sub engineer, which is kind of cool. So we played, and I got a. He was playing Signar, and he was playing Siege, and he was blowing up my goats because he could see them. And then I got a Kaya 2 assassination because Dogpile lets you charge without line of sight and gives you Pathfinder and makes you go real far when I have slam goats, Animus on him, and everything. So I get Eric Scott from Forever Far Away into a low camp Siege. Turns out it's not good for Siege.
No.
That's what happens when Siege spends focus. Yep. He dies.
Well, he was really far away, and I couldn't see him. It just... Dogpile fixes that.
Right.
Siege has a magnetic aura that's proportionate to how much focus he has spent. Right. If he has spent down, like if he spends like 3 from his stack, he's like in the danger zone.
Yeah. And that's with Arcane Shield already.
That's with Arcane Shield on him. It'll pull him in. He'll just pull in threats.
Well, when you're talking about hordes, yes, because when you have a Warpwolf that's Mat 8, power 20, that's a big deal.
It is.
Not as much versus War Machine, unless you can get a Colossal to win.
Yep.
But even then, Colossals are hard to deliver to Siege because it's easy to put something in the way.
Yeah.
And Colossals have to take up that much board space to get there. So, but a Warpwolf, amazing.
The other worry he
turns out, Mat 11, Pal 21,
was that
free Getterix? Charge.
Yeah.
No, what? It was a Mat 11, only Pal 19. Still free charge.
Yeah, but, no Gorax, right?
Oh, no, because the Force 7 was 21.
Yeah. Okay. Force 7
plus 2 from the Slam Goat.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, charging Getterix, real good.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think my first run I played, I don't remember, it was a Circle player. I don't remember what his name was, though. He was playing Cromac. Yeah, Cromac.
Yeah, I played him the next round. I wish I remembered his name.
And he walked forward. He like spent everything and walked forward with Cromac. And then after that, I was like, well, I'll go for this. And I just walked forward with a Hunter, and I popped him in the face and rolled like 6-6-5 on damage and put him to 2. And then,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, PZ's a medium base, right? And so the Hunter gets the armor piercing against him. And I was like, well, I could just end this right here if I just roll bananas. But
well, that's actually really – I mean, that's the way for Cromac to have a hard game is if you can shoot him early on with anything and do like 5-6 damage that he doesn't want to transfer, then he doesn't want to feat because that puts him that much lower, you know. So if you can get damage on him early, Cromac does not like that because his feat turn's kind of screwed.
That's what I thought.
And a lot of things actually threaten him to put damage on him.
Yeah, because
his defensive stats are really bad in human form.
In human form, well, they have to be because his spell list is awesome.
His spell list is amazing.
So
yeah. And then, so then I was playing, this was like a Siege MSU style list, which is a complete mistake. You should never play MSU in this format because there's just not enough time to activate everything, and then I end up clocking myself.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, Keith.
MSU, multiple small units.
Oh,
like
okay.
The idea 40K. Is that you have a lot of activation so that you don't get order of activation issues, so you can clear off like jammers with your couple of guys, and your unit can move ahead.
I got you.
It's so that you can always have something to do every single turn, which is not what you want at all in this format.
No. So
actually, in my last game,
I was doing very well, and then
I had a turn
myself.
Where I had nothing happen for the most part. Because I had a unit flee, and they blocked in my Colossal that couldn't shoot anything. So I was like, done.
Oh, no.
Was that this one? Yeah, that was
Yeah.
So anyway, that was first turn, and it was first round. It was good. Second round, I played the Cromac guy.
He was a good player. I really liked
him. Yeah,
he
was
a cool
good
guy too.
Yeah, I wish I could remember his name because
I've
seen him a couple times now. I like him.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I because I was running time turns, I stupidly got my got into bestial range with my druids, so they were pretty fucking worthless.
I was like
in my tree, so I had a gallows grove to. I was playing Kaya One, so I was gonna spirit fang his warp wolves.
That's just mean.
But my tree was like by the nubbins, by like the curled nut hair into his bestial, so I couldn't arc either.
Ah!
But I survived barely. Turns out Spirit Fang's real good.
Spirit Fang is real good.
Yeah, the problem with Kaya is that she dies, right? She's 16, right. 13.
Yeah, it is a problem.
But Spirit Fang's amazing. So eventually won that by, like, you know, the barely, you know, tip of her nose.
Eked it out, yeah.
I think I played Crix my second round. I want to say it was Denny 2, and he didn't go in Corporeal turn 1, but I got to go first. So I ran, he walked up, did some stuff, and then I just shot her. I mean... I actually ran Durgan because Durgan's a really good drop against Crix in general because he can, you know, he can AoE blast everything but Raiders.
And he has Explosive against Denny too.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Well, I have Ayana and Holt in that list.
Oh
anyway,
yeah, that
so.
Too.
Oh well, he
saves you.
Yeah,
she doesn't
like
magic
that.
Weapons everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Was he aware of what that was?
I don't think he knew what Durgan. Well, I don't think he'd seen Mercs played that because I mean, you know, they don't get played a lot because they're
right.
They have a. Maybe a higher skill level to play because you have to have all kind of different weird crap in the list to make it work, right? I mean,
right.
It's like this has to happen for this to happen. That this, if you watch me play, it's like this goes, this goes, this goes, this goes, this goes, and now my guy can attack,
right.
You know?
Yeah,
so it's a lot of weird stuff. A
lot of Rube Goldberg going on.
Yeah,
and even with like, and with pirates, you have this goes, then this whole unit goes, then
right.
I have to move all this stuff
right.
up in the perfect area.
Right.
Also, the buy-in on it is difficult for a newer player, too. It's definitely not a faction that you start with.
Yeah, I mean, you don't play 4-star or Searforge or Talion or Highborn. Well, maybe Highborn, but you play Mercs. If you want to go and compete, you really need to have access to everything.
Yep.
If you want to compete at you know, a good competitive level and have a chance to win. I mean, I'm not saying you can't win with Searforge, but it's difficult because they do have some issues that, you know, if you go up against certain matchups, it's like, that's a little harder to play, you know.
Yeah, and this guy definitely isn't a local because around here we have to plan for Mercs.
Yeah,
Mercs
yeah, no,
has to be
no,
planned
no.
for.
I only played against I think Dave. Yeah, Dave. I played Dave twice over the weekend, but I didn't
three
play
times.
Keith at all. Was it three? Oh yeah, three times. Yeah.
Every tournament.
Yeah.
Well, technically, yeah. I guess Highlander too, but
yeah.
You were across the board
yeah.
from me, so you could stab me in the back this time.
This time.
Yeah.
It's all right. I was playing Mercs Archer. Good.
Yeah. Then
stab you the back anyway.
I guess last round you two played each other. My last round, I'm just gonna go real quick because I dropped my other list because I had to, and it was like Striker 2 Stormwall, and so like I went first. I just ran everything forward. Striker velocityed himself 6 inches forward and then charged like at his guys. He was like standing in front of the army. He was like, you know, straight out all in there. I was playing against Asphyxius too, and then he like kind of walked forward a little bit and put himself on a hill, and I was like, all right, Striker 2, go, and I just. Gave four to the Colossal, put two fully boosted gunshots into
Defender
Cannon. Asphyxius, and then I velocityed forward for two and aimed to finish the job with Striker. And
boosted, wow. Hit, he had, like,
where,
no clouds?
He was
where
no,
were the clouds
he no,
at?
He didn't have any clouds.
Where was Hellbound?
Oh, no, he was Asphyxius 1, I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, it was two. It was two because his feet was the
bring back 10 knights.
Yeah, back 10 knights.
Where was Hellbound?
I didn't charge him. I just walked.
Velocity forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two and aimed.
Yeah.
Did you have Pathfinder?
I didn't need to.
Hellbound makes you. So
within
10
5 inches.
I was like 10 inches away.
Okay. But I'm just saying, like,
Cloud,
where were all these spells that should have been there?
Cloud, he probably had Hellbound out because I played him the next day. But he probably just didn't put up the clouds.
Oh, he
the
might
clouds
have had Hellbound.
Versus shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, clouds make all the difference because you
yeah.
can't shoot him. Then.
It's
but
like
he,
there's a storm wall. You should probably
so
have
So he was very
clouds.
New. So that guy
yeah,
I played
was,
him the next
he
day, he was very new. And he was said he was pretty nervous about playing in tournaments. Just like, you know.
So he made some mistakes.
So
yeah.
And it's quick times.
It
and,
is.
And it's his first tournament, I think, maybe second ever. And so he was nervous. And
okay.
I'm sure he just.
I will say this. The good thing about going to those events, even though you might be nervous and misplay a little bit the first couple of rounds, by the end of the weekend, if you play in everything, yeah, you've played
so
many games.
Better.
It gives you reps.
It does. It gives
you
quality reps. That's what it is.
Quality reps, and you get not only that, but you get to play against players that aren't necessarily from your local area.
Yep.
So any kind of like technology that you learn at these events, you know, you can take it to your meta, and you're going to be so much better.
for it.
Yeah, it's a quick way to level.
Or you just learn not to get assassinated, or you learn to put these up, even if you might not normally do it, because you're like, oh, well, he's got guns, and he's going to shoot me, versus he's a I'm used to melee armies, or I'm used to melee armies, or I'm used to, or the opposite, right?
Yeah.
So. Or this is scenarios. Like, this, these are more different scenarios, right? This is how this one works. We never played Incursion, but, you know, Incursion can catch you out if you get the wrong caster on it, kind of
Which
thing.
One's that one?
Incursion's Three Flags.
Three Flags. Yeah, definitely. Go for one of the go for the wide flag with your caster. That's all I can say about Incursion.
Yeah. I was really hoping to get it on Baldur. I'm like, yes, come on. But never. Anyway, so that was, and then the third round, Liam and I played each other.
Ship Captain Crew?
We Ship Captain Crew.
I won it.
He didn't just win it.
I've dominated Ship Captain Crew.
He dominated. He qualified in the first roll, and he had like a 3-3. And then he was like, no, I'm good. And I couldn't even qualify after like, no, I did qualify
on the last one
with a 3-2, so I lost.
Yep.
And then we played the game, and I lost on time.
Yep.
Yeah,
and then
like you were
winning
though.
Well, I did win. Well, I lost on time because they had too many things to get through.
Right.
And then
to be fair, I failed my terror check right off the bat, and so and the way Dave was set up was he had like Nuala on the right, on my right, which most of that unit should have been dead. Poor Durgan.
You did.
I missed. I rolled the exact same number, like, what, three times in a row, which, like, I killed, like, one chick with an artillerist Durgan. I put
Artillerist reloaded Durgan.
Reloaded. I put it right in the middle of the unit and killed one.
In front, but he should have gotten, like, five.
Well, front middle,
he
right?
He should have gotten, like, five,
yeah.
Not one.
Yeah. And anyway, so they're on, like, my right. One of the goats is on my left. Stuff's in the front. And so my pressgangers literally can go nowhere, right?
Scared because, with Gedorix, who ran up and killed the one knockdown pirate.
Yeah, your one guy. And so I failed the terror check. And because I couldn't, because he had left, right, and forward, I couldn't technically move any way but directly, like, back.
Right into his colossal.
And the colossal was behind them. So, yeah, if not, the next turn, they would have done a massive amount. Because pressgangers, man, at power 15... are just insane. They'd kill Gedorix. They'd kill the goats.
That
I mean,
whole list is bananas.
Yeah.
It is pretty awesome. But,
and then I failed to kill one of your heavies, even with the Colossal that turn. Yeah, it was like the one I could get to.
You could see the Judo goat and you couldn't kill him.
I missed him twice with the knockdown guns or something, needing like fives. Yeah. It was horrible.
It was not a good turn. But he won anyway.
So what list is this? Was crazy pressgangers and...
Oh, it's his Durgan list.
It's my Durgan list. Yep.
So have you talked about it on the cast before?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I've only... No. Like, was the only time I've ever on here is on battle reports after tournaments.
It's Durgan double pressgangers.
So backing up a second, just a real quick review of that game.
Yeah.
The really important things that are important to remember there are, one, cause command checks if you can, because you never know when they're going to fail, right?
Yeah,
because
I normally...
It
at
really
50
changes
points,
the game.
And
it
at does. 50 points, I fail a lot of terror checks. This has happened to me since, like, last year
Which
for some reason.
Which is a weakness of mercs, right?
Yeah, so I've got something to mitigate that in every list at 50. And at 35, I just took 15 points out. I was like, real quick. I mean, I think it took, like, 5 minutes to make my list.
Yeah,
because
I
didn't prepare.
Anyway.
Yeah. And so I just grabbed 15 points out and went, there you go, and... There was no anti-terror in that.
And you're like, command 8. Uh-oh.
Yeah, so one, cause command checks if you can. Two, if you're building a list, make sure you mitigate command checks as best you can. Mm-hmm. Three, if you're playing a guy that's mitigated with a solo, if you can cap the solo, do so, and then cause command checks, especially against, like, Circle has low commands, and Mercs have low commands. Like, some, it's a further tactic, but, you know, you roll an 8, you have to do it 3 times, you're going to miss one. And then losing that unit for a turn clogs everything up and loses an entire activation of a unit. So
and it just causes order of activation problems, like if there's anything near
it
them.
It does. I mean, that's exactly what happened. Because if I could have got the mercs out of the way, my Colossal would have charged two of his heavies, including Gedorix, and would have killed them both because I just tuned up his to hit.
Right.
He's power 22 in that list.
Yep.
And then he would have got the two of them in, like, I think 3 shots probably would have killed Gedorix at that point.
He's a...
Armor 19, dice plus 3.
Yeah, he's a defense 16, armor 19 in that list.
And I would have hit you on average rolls. I probably would have tried to kill the goat first and then swung on him next.
Yeah. And
because of the 16. Because I needed 10s, but I'm rolling 3 dice, so maybe.
Yeah.
In any case, so just something, that's what is a good point to learn out of that for those people that are on my learning curve, right? That's an important point.
And because he's redlined, he gets the charge free, and then he buys 3 attacks. So he's got 5 attacks, which is good for a Colossal. I mean, that's the nice thing. If you can get some sort of, like, bond where they get the 5 attacks on the charge, that's huge.
It's the tune-up that makes him go.
Yeah, I mean, with Thor's Colossal. With needing 10s, though, would you probably have to hit him, what, 3 times?
Yeah, well, I mean, it just all depends on what I would just, I mean, I killed the goat in two punches. So, I mean, it would have been swinging on him next. I probably would have killed the goat and then tried to kill him. Although, gotcha. I don't know. I mean,
I don't
just
know
depends.
If you would have been able to get both of them. It's kind of because, you need a tens to hit.
You can jack up one, and then and I can't kill a colossal in one with one heavy, and then he kills him next turn.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, two mechanics in that list. Anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, so it doesn't matter. Command checks is an important bit of that. So your list, the list is for Liam, because I've played enough times, at least that list is Durgan, Earthbreaker, and Thor, right? Because you're not bringing Earthbreaker without Thor unless you're playing Seer Forge and have to. He's got two Press Gangers if he can. He's got, that's the important parts of that list. Solos.
There's a bunch. Dougal. Well, there's all the solo. I mean, the solos in that list take up so many points, it's crazy. And I count Ion and Holt as a solo. Okay. I mean, Holt does a lot of damage, but it's really there for Ion up so I can have magic weapon.
Or harm, or whatever.
You bring the list for
Ion. I don't
Ayana.
Actually use it for harm.
Because you tune up the damage so often.
Well, yeah. You know, the big thing is sometimes you need magic weapon, right? You need it against Minoth. You need it against Krix. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that it goes well
great
with.
Great solo.
Yeah.
And Holt does a lot of just, like, spot removal. Because
he does. Because he's got hand cannons. He's got two hand cannons.
But he's like rat 8, rat 10, whatever.
Yeah, you bring him for Ayana, but Holt gets your points back. Yeah.
What pirate solos are you running with the Press Gangers?
Rock bottom, because I need something to mitigate terror.
Command checks? Yeah.
So it's more of a three-list pair, right? And the third list is McBain.
McBain with 20 pirates and
all the solos
in that.
Oh, all the pirate solos are in that? Okay.
Yeah. Well, except for...
Yeah, so the important bottom. Thing is just runs those press gangers forward with...
And primed.
Yeah, primed.
Yeah, and even if I fail terror, it's not too bad in that list. Typically, as long as the stuff's not in the way, right?
Right.
Because I can run up and...
Even if it's
even
in the way,
if
part of its job is to be in the way.
Is in the way, right. So it just blasts you with power 14s.
Yeah.
Yeah. After you shove those press gangers in my face for when we played weeks ago at this point, weeks ago, I've been suggesting to Signar players an alternative to Boom Howlers being press gangers.
Press gangers are really good.
They are.
So we've had this discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, my big thing is I would take steelheads over press gangers if I did not have a colossal on the list. If I have a colossal on the list, I take press gangers, and the reason is because the steelheads don't have the colossal takes up so much realty, you know, so much space in the deployment zone that you need something up front to run in the way. If you don't have that being taken up, I think steelheads are probably better a good deal of the time. I always took steelheads in Signar. Mm-hmm. Now I played before Stormwall was released. I haven't played them since, but I like steelheads better because they can see MA always. They have a massive defense versus the charge, especially if you have Rupert in the list, right? And then they go up to defense 16 against the charge. Mm-hmm. They're on the charge. They get plus 2. They're power 11s. So, I mean, they've got all the advantages, and then they have reach, which is a big deal. Reach goes a long way, and you can get them up to whatever match you need. Durgan likes pirates because they're cheap bodies. They're advanced deploy. He's going to run the Colossal, and he doesn't care if they blow up. And you can just run them in
the engage. I think the other part is that makes them so good with Durgan, especially, and a lot of Mercasters, is they come with damage buffs, and Primed really makes them shine.
Yeah.
Right? Where Signar doesn't have that. They have defensive
attack. I was actually thinking about for Striker 3, actually, Press Gangers being one of his units, because Fury on them plus Hawk actually makes it so they're threatening medium-boxed infantry, which doesn't typically happen.
But if you have Hulk, you don't need Fury, because then they're power 11 weapon masters, and, I mean, they're killing almost everything on the charge, you know, shy of maybe Gristle 2 with a whole bunch of warders. Yeah.
But then that Fury can help mitigate that.
Yeah, know? But, I mean, you... So
then you're cycling Fury,
But what you do at that point...
Well, your first unit you have Fury on, and you send that up, and you still... If you have two units, you can send up the second unit later.
But you still don't need to do that, though, because you send in, like, one unit, and you charge them to where you got, like, 2 to 3 per dude. You're going to kill 2 or 3 of them on the charge, and then the other 2 warders or champs aren't going to kill 10 press gangers back. And they're probably only going to kill, like, 1 or 2, and then you can just sit there and tie them down.
Right.
So that's the, I mean, you can out troll trolls with press gangers potentially with Hulk.
You just have to watch your space in there because of her
gun. And you have to keep Hulk safe, right? But I mean, even if she knocks him down,
I'm talking about Gristle has a
Her gun. She's got a knockdown gun. She's got a spray gun. But I mean,
well, she also has the template gun that does the auto 12.
That's if you run into
her. Isn't that her knockdown gun?
No, she has three guns.
There's crescendo or whatever that leaves a mage storm.
But that's if you walk into it. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm talking about the charging into the warders. She tried to clear them up with.
Just put something on top of them.
But then steelheads work better again because that way you can stay at reach. You can bog down stuff. They can take up more space.
It's just the use of Hawk, then, is the only reason why you'd use the press gangers. I mean, and it's AD. It's 80 bodies, which AD is crazy.
It's good if you don't have a Colossal. I mean, if you have a Colossal, it's good. If you don't, I don't see it being any better than...
I think it depends on your point of the list. I think Striker 3 works best as a good counterpunch, right? So he counterpunches like a champ, and I think Steelheads do a better job of setting up a good counterpunch because they're gonna do work after they get hit because they have CMA, unlike Pirates. They're going to have a better chance of surviving than Pirates because Tough, as we all know, is harsh mistress, right? So some days it's amazing, some days it's terrible.
Some days you fell 9-4 up Tufts in a row.
Some days you do. So I don't know. I just think it depends how you're designing that list. If you want to hit with them on the charge, yes, it probably makes a little more sense to use Pirates. But Pirates have guns, right? And guns can sometimes be useful, but not for Striker 3. You really want a unit to take that first hit and then smash their faces in with the amazing feat of Striker 3. And once they're into your stuff, then you pop your feet and you smush everything. And the things that take a hit better, the better receiving unit is Steelheads because of the high defense, especially with Rupert, maybe Arcane Shield if you're getting real excited about things.
Sure. Although they're pretty much resistant to blast damage at armor 13 anyways. Yeah. So are Pirates. So
my worrying is just about the Steelhead's damage potential as opposed to the press gangers with Hawk.
Yeah, but they're base 2 power higher.
Don't need damage.
Which kind of mitigates.
Well, I'm just talking about against warders. I'm talking about multi-box damage tree, which Signar has a huge problem with.
And if you're talking Striker, I mean, if you're running a unit of Steelheads, if you really want to, I mean, just throw what's-his-name in there and make them all Signar and then have him charge on feet turn and it's what it is. I mean, I would not build against warders. I don't do that though. So I mean, I just build good list and then they can take on anything is the way I look at it. I don't specifically build against one thing or the other.
I just find that Signar has to plan for
and Gristle's not hard to kill.
Boxed.
She can be not hard to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean the last time I played against her, I almost killed her right off the bat.
That's true.
And it was just lucky or unlucky rolls for me, lucky rolls for my opponent, that she didn't die, and then he had to, you know, keep her behind an obstacle for the rest of the game. So,
anyway, so you can go either way. I might test it, but I like Steelheads in theory more. Just because I really think that Striker 3 list should be a counterpunch list, especially with that heavy cav, because that heavy cav dies, right? If you let it out front, you don't want to Vanguard with that heavy cav. You want to counterpunch and hit an impact, your free impact attacks are going to hit everything, and then your extra charge die and everything, they're going to be a counterpunch. A real hard counterpunch, so you want something that will accept the original charge because you're not fast enough to not catch the first charge.
Yeah. Plus, another good thing with Striker 3, and I don't think anybody, I mean, I told Keith this is how I would play him. I'd run a whole bunch of light warjacks, or not light warjacks, the cheap, heavy warjacks, like the Hammersmiths, the Ironclads with him, and with Iron Aggression up, man, they can go in and do a ton of damage. I mean, they're beating warders to death by themselves with just a few focus.
But it's not going to take a lot of warders to kill them. Is the issue.
If they're charging him back. I mean, as you throw a Hammersmith in there, he kills an entire unit. Maybe they tough with 3 focus, but, you know, he's still engaged, so they have to send a whole other unit after him to kill him, and then you've got to, you know, they've got to do certain things on their end to get their damage up high enough because he's armor 19. And power 10 weapon masters do do 4 or 5 damage on the charge. They've got to get to him.
Don't they get +2 strength if you damage the unit already?
Well, that's the unit, but the Hammersmith should go ahead, or the Ironclad could pretty much kill the entire unit with 3 focus.
Well, they have reach, so they can be bunched out.
Well, you're thinking warders, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking warders. Okay,
and again, Hammersmith has beatback, so he can just walk right through the whole unit.
So what are the warders' weaknesses, right? The warders' weaknesses
control.
Are A, slow.
Yeah, slow
B,
down.
B, one attack each.
One attack each, yeah.
Right? So that's why Steelheads are great at tying them up, because Steelheads are much quicker. Even with Dash, they only get to speed 5. Maybe hoof it, they get, you know, that one turn of speed 8.
They don't have hoof it.
Yeah, I know, but with Gristle. With like
Gristle 1.
Gristle 1, right?
Not Gristle 2.
You either run them with Gristle 1 or Gristle 2. Something that speeds them up.
Yep.
Right, but they're slow naturally and they only have one attack each, so they're great. That's a unit you just want to put some kind of crap into. Here you go, chew through my half a point model.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And
you're not getting anywhere.
And let's go back to Striker 3, because this is what you guys are talking about, right? So you feat, right? You send a Hammersmith into one. He's faster than the warders. He kills an entire unit, except for unless the guy just starts getting super tough checks, right? Then you have your cav charge another unit. They kill them like it's nothing, right? So he's got a unit of something left at that point, and his
champions
heavies.
Probably
champions. And then you still have an ironclad in the back. You still have something else in the back. And is he going to be able to beat through a hammersmith and your cav with just what he's got left?
Or you put the hammersmith into the champions and start pulling them apart because they have they're going to have to be base to base to get their full armor, right? And therefore your pushes and your right. So maybe you leave that warders. You're gumming them up with one of your units of steelheads because you're going to have two. You gum them up with one of those. You take out the other one with your cav, or at least most of them in the hammer.
But the cav on feet turn, man, are going to just destroy a unit of
Warders. Right, and then you still have, you have a backup jack, you have another unit, you have Striker himself, who's not going to, who should be able to take Gristle straight up.
And we're not talking about any points here either, because Warders and champs are like almost 10 points apiece.
Now, you got to be careful, because they're going to have Mold.
And we're talking...
They'll have Mold left. They'll have Mold left.
Yeah, but I mean, Ironclad can go into Mold at the end game there with Fury up and kill him.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're sitting back. So you
and
remember the hammer
escort.
He does. And the hammersmith and, because he's speed 7. Yep.
Yeah.
And the hammersmith and ironclad together are only 15 points. So think about all the point values you have there.
Oh, Liam won it on ship captain crew.
And clock. Said that.
Yeah. Anyway, so, or you could put in the other thing that units really hate, the ironclad really helps you with, is knockdown, right? Units hate to be knocked down.
Yep.
It's true.
Yeah, especially trolls. I mean,
and they're low defense.
You just have to pay attention to what the Chronicler is doing, too, because the Chronicler...
Are they running a Chronicler in that list?
Yes. They run a Chronicler and a Failcaller, but you just shoot the Failcaller early in the game, right? And kill him. And then, you know, maybe Tufts, but I mean, that's just tough.
Do you really have
but...
those kinds of guns in the list, though? I mean...
Sure. You've got all the guns on the cav, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a unit of...
Blazers.
Blazers, yeah.
Right, and they get around
there's a unit of Blazers.
Yeah,
and they get around the edge and kill the sport. One, they're going to pull.
Only men?
Yes,
that's all those points.
One, there's only points. Okay. Two, that's all you want because you don't want a big footprint. And you don't want them to be a target. You want them to get around the flank, start blowing up the stones, start killing off troll support.
Yep, they run straight down one side, one board.
Because the Chronicler is not going to be hard to kill, especially the stone. Once it starts losing the bubble size, as you murder the dudes in there, and so Magic Bolt's going to do a lot of work there. They don't have a ton of guns. You only have Gristle as guns, and maybe because you're running an Axer, so they get around the turn two. The turn one, they just run down the flank. Turn two, they're starting to pull apart that support. And now you're jamming with your steelheads. Turn three, they're going to pull apart more of that support. And now the troll guy's finally going to be able to start fighting. And without all that support, they're much easier to kill.
Well, I mean, if you can kill the stone, the game is over.
Which is the point of those.
It makes it hard.
It's basically over.
And you got to remember, I mean, you're really focused on that list, but it can't pull apart. Yeah. It cannot pull apart effectively to get to those guys because those blazers are literally on like the, you know, they're all the way to the right or all the way to the left, and they run straight down the board,
anyway,
so nothing can reach
them. I think that list has solutions to Meat Mountain. Now, Fist of Halak with incendiaries are a little tougher just because they can start lighting things on fire, which is going to be bad. But then you can use Arcane Shield or something if you're worried about that onto your front guys because now your 12s on 18s or whatever.
Yep. Or even put it on the steelheads, and then they're 16s. And at least it's going to give them the blast damage isn't going to kill them at that point at all. Then you just got to worry about fire. But, you know, you got a 67% chance of rolling out fire.
Right.
Thoughts, Signar player?
I mean, I've already had this discussion with these guys. So,
oh, okay.
I mean,
I had not.
We did retool Keith's whole Striker 3 list to make it a. I don't think it's not built specifically to take on one list or the other. It's we tried to make it a really good all around list.
Yeah. I think it has solutions.
I haven't had a chance to get any reps with it yet. I'm really looking forward to that. But I think for right now, I'm gonna, because GigaCon is coming up, I'm just gonna stick with Striker 2, which I have more practice with.
Yeah, I would stick with
Striker 2 and Siege, and then if I get to Masters, Sloan. I'll add like Carousel.
Haley 2.
No, I think Sloan is a really good third list there because she's going to be able to just do a lot of crazy stuff.
What?
Who cares what you play at GigaCon? Go have fun.
Haley 2.
I've told you, I'm not playing Haley 2 this year.
Well, he's got a lot of experience with Kara Sloan and not a lot with Haley.
He has tons of experience with Haley 2.
Haley 2?
Yes.
I played her all last year in tournaments, and I just basically put her on
the table. And I was actually playing games last year, and we would just keep...
And I would just win.
But when was the last time you played her?
Last year.
Okay, so you don't, actually. You get very rusty with those models, even after a few months.
Just play her against me. It'll be fine.
I want to see you win War Machine Weekend. Don't you need to... play
casters. Anyway.
We have Liam for that. It's not a big deal.
But Kara Sloan is a really good caster. She has a lot of answers. You just got to make sure she's safe.
Yeah.
And so that's why she's a better third list caster, because Siege and Striker 2 threaten so much of the board themselves, you have to watch out for them. You know?
Well, I mean, as long as you're mentioning War Machine Weekend.
I won't be going. So
Will's wife already said that.
She's driving me to War Machine Weekend.
So I guess that means I'm also going
Where
to War
that?
Machine Weekend.
It's in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, it's like a 12-hour drive.
Okay, that's not that bad. It's like Gen Con.
It's a 12-hour drive. And she's like, all right, if you do all this stuff for me, then I'll drive you there. Because she just got a new car. And I was like, instantly, deal. And she was like, maybe I should have asked for more. And I was like, maybe you should have.
So, I mean, I don't care if I play in the Invitational. I just want to go up there and meet a bunch of people and have a good time. Like, if I get into the Masters or any,
There's
if any
be
of us get into
around the clock.
Yeah, if any of us get into Masters, that's just a bonus for me. But you know, whatever it is whatever it is. Yeah. But
what it really comes down to is Mace needs to get the hell off War Machine Weekend.
Yeah.
Mace
like
is one
is
of our
to,
local Southeast tournament that the Georgia, South Carolina, there's an invitational for Virginia,
Tennessee,
all Tennessee, Virginia. All feed into an invitational at Mace, which is a medium-sized con, I would say. It's not large.
It's getting bigger every year. How many people were there?
Yeah,
it was like 30.
40,
yeah.
Somewhere between 40 and 45 last year.
Yeah. And I expect it to be bigger this year because we're including more and more people into that invitational.
Yeah.
The invitational might be like getting close to 32 at this point. I don't even know how many people are in it. It's a lot.
Anyway, so what else do you want to talk about?
Then we're on to the Saturday games.
Saturday games. So this is a normal 50-point steamroller two list, just straight up 50-point steamroller. I play a Kador guy first turn. He's playing Harkovich. He had Butcher 3 in Harkovich. I played my Kruger 1 list. Basically came down to I got up on the peace trade. He came in with his Colossal first, with Conquest first, and then even under Harkovich's feet, it took me all three of my heavies because I was running the Magic Monkey. Took me all three heavies to kill him, but then I was up, and he took my Gargantuan back, but then I took his Behemoth, and I just got up on the peace trade. The one important lesson I think from that, that I took from that, is I'm learning to peace trade more effectively. As I'm kind of like thinking about peace trading more effectively. So that's one thing. But two, the other thing is I learned and I've been working on, especially in that list, is using the Gargantuan as the anchor, as the last piece of it. Kruger 1 takes care of the infantry and use the Gargantuan as the last thing so nothing left can kill it. And I think that was his one mistake. Zach's one mistake in that is he put the Conquest in first. I would have had like a Juggernaut or something in that list that he could have used as a first peace trade.
And Juggernaut's hard to kill anyway.
Right, especially under Harkovich's feet, right? Because same problem with the Gristle 2, right? Everyone's like, Gristle 2 is terrible. And then you realize it's the only armor buff in Trolls, like the only caster armor buff in Trolls.
Yeah.
And Harkovich is the only armor buff
in Kador.
And there's a reason for that, right? Because his Jacks are really hard to kill.
Yeah.
So armor 23. Yay.
Yeah.
So you got to use it correctly. I'm not saying it's, the bee's knees, the best all ever. But I think that was the one mistake. He missed a charge, so I had Conquest for free, and then I was up in the peace trade and just took it out.
Yeah. I mean, I think he may have been just trying to, like, put Conquest out there and to say, hey, look, I'm gonna put this guy out here. Even if you kill him, you're going to have three beasts standing next to each other, and this behemoth over here is going to walk over and punch some other guys.
He thought he was going to take my feral for free, but he thought he was going to start the peace trade by taking my feral. And if he starts the peace trade, so my list, my Kruger 1 list is Droids and UA, feral, stalker, magic monkey, and Gorax and stones with UA. And so he thought he was going to take my feral, and he would be up in peace trade, but he missed. And then I got in with my feral. And between a feral, primal feral, magic monkey, and stalker, even a sprinted stalker, even with his plus three armor, I got through the conquest.
And that's, if he would that's actually not a good attack plan anyway, because I mean, conquest when he hits, he's like power 22, which is crazy, but he's only mat 6.
Yeah, he's got to hit,
and so he needs 8s, and that's like one to charge, one to boost. That's two power 22s. Dice plus 5, he's probably not going to kill you. I mean, he really needs to roll high. He needs to roll like 11s and 12s to kill you.
He would have been my Druid's Clouds too, so he would have needed...
Oh, wow. Yeah, 10s to hit.
Because the way I put my Ferals, I guessed correctly. One of the things that I'm getting better at, as you know, people in my skill level will, right, your distance guesses get better, especially as you play a list more. So I could see the 12 inches that I'd get for my Stone Teleport and Reach. So I was like, you know, 11 and a half or whatever. So he was just out. But he would have touched the Druid Cloud, I think. And then he's, you know, mat 4 on my defense 14. Yeah. So he needs 10s, which means you got to boost.
Which means he's going to hit one. He's probably only going to hit one. He might get lucky and hit both. But yeah. Even if he does, his luck's not going to – his dice aren't going to give him the good damage rolls at that point.
Well,
so.
The one is a charge attack.
What
is
your feral work with
a charge attack?
It's 15.
Oh, okay. So that's even worse for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's unlikely my Feral would die.
Boxes,
I was
right?
scared about it, though. I mean,
yeah.
Just in my head, a colossal and a Feral equals
roll
dead Feral.
Well,
and which isn't mathematically true,
basically.
But...
Yeah.
Anyway, so I got up, and then Peace Trade, as you probably heard on other casts, right, Peace Trades, you want to get up on Peace Trades and win. Later, which I misdiagnosed, so I've been trying to get better at Peace Trading. In a game with Liam later, I misdiagnosed a Peace Trade because I thought I'd be up, right, when I put
Ram
just,
hands.
Yeah, I don't want to go through
Rumble.
All. So I put up Rumble, right? So he's playing his Dominalist, and I put up Rumble, and I take out all of his.
Game later,
well, I don't want to do each individual
sure.
round.
Gotcha.
And the lesson is important here. So I put up Rumble, and I thought I was safe because I was after Damiano's feet turn, and I thought Rumble would be safe. Rumble is a Wold Guardian because he looks like Rumble from Transformers.
Yep.
So Rumble, I thought he'd be safe because he'd get hit, but he's armor 20. And I thought he'd be safe, but...
He had taken a little damage already.
Not at that point because you shot me like with, I don't know, a couple guns or something, like a couple gun mages or something.
I thought Rosciante had shot him, but maybe not.
Maybe. Anyway, so he's a armor 20, 30 box guy. And he didn't have his feet anymore, and the Nomad couldn't get there, and so he just had. I thought he was going to get Rosinante with even 3 focus, shouldn't kill him.
Yeah.
But I misdiagnosed the Weapon Masters, the Charging Weapon Masters.
Oh yeah.
And I think I put a Vanguard on him too. With
maybe
some damage.
Yeah. You had to put a couple things in. But he got him, and I just misdiagnosed because I thought after the feat I'd be way up on Peace Trade, and I thought I'd get to bait him in with Rosinante. He wouldn't kill him. I'd heal him with Balder, and then I'd be way up.
Yeah.
But I just misdiagnosed it. So that's one thing to learn where I'm at in my skill curve, and I assume other people in the world are kind of my level, is that it's not just Jack to Jack or, you know, Jack to Beast to take, right? That's not the, in chess terms, it, you know, not just Jack takes Beast. Also, you got to be careful with Weapon Masters and or, especially against Mercs, when they can just get strange, like,
weird
primed,
synergies.
Yeah, like, primed pirates can be, like, 15, pal 15 or something dumb, you know?
And just what my plan was there is I wasn't expecting that to happen. But when it almost happened, I focused more on it. My plan was to not really do much to Rumble, and I was going to start brutal shotting Gedrix, who's only armor 17, because I'm shooting him, right? And then also put Rosinante in there, and over 2 rounds, they actually kill him pretty effectively doing that. But when I did so much damage to Rumble, I just focused fire on him and took him out.
Yeah, because he spiked.
I spiked 2 dice rolls, really good.
Also, Privateer Press.
You did spike 2 out of
2.
And then on
if
the
you're
free
listening
strike,
to this
I took
podcast,
a third one.
If you could, in the future, maybe make a circle character Ram Hands beast called Rumbler. Or
Rumble? Just Rumble. They won't do that.
Rumbler would be fine. It's enough different, right?
He's Rumbler. The Wold Rumbler.
But, he's the Wold Rumbler, yeah.
So out of the other lessons I got from the entire tournament for me was, one, Charging Weapon Masters, we all know, we understand the basic math. It's easy to think through intellectually the math of charging... Weapon Masters can do a lot of damage, but it feels like a kick to the fucking balls.
I love Weapon Masters for that reason.
Right, I mean, because
they can spike. They can spike one way or the other. And if they spike low, it's like whatever. When they spike high,
matter.
Though, it's huge.
So those people that are, like me at least, I went on tilt afterwards and had to take like a 2-minute sit-down break in the middle of my turn just like, because I went on full tilt because not only that, but the gun mages cleared my engaging Thorn Ravagers too because they had Deadeye. Right, which I also understand is quite possible, but...
Deadeye is not a fair spell remotely.
Right, which is just... It sucks. So I went on, like, full tilt, but...
That's not that bad. Think about Deadeye with Pendrake as well. Then I'm doing 46 with brutal shots or knockdown shots.
Yeah, on
beasts. Yeah.
But the point is, at least for those people that are playing tournaments or starting to play tournaments and get more competitive, right, going on tilt is very bad because you start making stupid decisions.
Yes.
But one of the things I would you should be mindful of is get the experience of getting Weapon Master diced because it just will happen. And so just getting used to the experience of getting that kick to the balls will help you not go on tilt, as well as gun mages were two of the things I learned that tournament.
Bane Thralls will destroy everything you love. You just have to accept it and move on with your life.
Just got to invite them to the Ryan Cloud party.
It's true, but not everybody has a Ryan Cloud party.
That's true.
So anyway, so I think instead of going through the full